I've been directed to this portion this morning, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth labors into his harvest. Amen. And we know the Lord will bless this short portion of his precious word to all of our hearts. Well, sometimes I'm a wee bit weary of harvest services, because the nature of the service, you have to speak about the harvest, about the farmers, and whether it's the harvest of the sea or the harvest of the land, you know, you have to make certain statements. And I'm always a wee bit timorous about making statements with regard to farming, for as a townie, I know nothing about farming, and I know very little about fishing. I learned something of that in Port of Ogie. But you know, I was standing up one night in Port of Ogie, and I was preaching, and I was quoting that verse, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And as I was standing shaking hands at the door, the people came out, a brother came up to me and says, brother, I'm glad that you are not taking out my boat in the morning, for you don't know your west from your east. So I'm always a wee bit timorous with harvest service. Nevertheless, we want to thank the Reverend Elliot and the session for their invitation to speak this morning. And just while I'm here, could I, on behalf of my wife and myself, say a very sincere word of thanks to the folks in Bethany for making us feel so welcome in their church and in their fellowship, and we appreciate that very much. And I know we're going to enjoy residing here in Portadown. Now, as I was thinking of this message, I was thinking of those words of the Savior when he said, the harvest truly is plenteous. And he was thinking of the multitudes. And if you think of the population of Portadown, and I made one or two inquiries, Brother Robert Smith fairly kindly gave me some statistics. 2003, the population of Craigavon was something like 80,000 people. That's on the register. Apparently it's up about 6,000 since that. I'm not a great mathematician, but if you divide that in half between Lurgan and Portadown, you're talking about 35,000 to 40,000 people. And then if you consider, ask yourself the question, how many of that 40,000 are believers, are Christians? Well, if you count up the number of evangelical churches in the town, the gospel halls, the mission halls, etc., and you give an average attendance, and you probably come up with something like 4,000 people. Maybe not that, because everybody attending evangelical churches are not saved. It's a very small percentage, isn't it? And you're left with about 36,000 people. That's not counting boys and girls. And when the Lord lifted up his eyes, he saw the multitudes. And he saw them as a harvest to be reaped. And I wonder this morning, is that how we see it? Because the problem, as I see it with the modern church today, is that we're not really seeing the harvest through the eyes of the Lord. We don't see the multitude as the Lord saw them. When he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. But he saw them as a harvest to be reaped. A lot of other things come before the reaching the lost for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're told in the early part of that portion we read that the Lord Jesus Christ, he taught, he preached the gospel, and he healed the people of their diseases. The Lord Jesus was interested in the whole man. And I think there is a place in the work of the Christian to meet people's material needs, physical needs, as far as possible. How often it is that through meeting someone's physical need or material need that we get an entrance with the gospel. I've often said, you know, it's wonderful what half a dozen scones will do. You know, the lady's baking and she's a few left over, and there's somebody down the road and she's been trying to talk to about the Lord for years. She can't get a word in. Well, here's an opportunity. Just go down and knock the door. Could you use half a dozen scones? And it's just wonderful, you know, the little things that introduce you to people so that you can talk to them about the Lord. We just moved from RB Green in Belfast, and there was a couple across the road, and they've been there for years. We never really got to talk to them because they didn't really seem to be that interested in talking to us. But just over a year ago, we got a wee pup from Mary here in Bethany. And sometimes when we went out for shopping or that, we closed her in the yard. She had plenty of scope. But you know what pups are like, and they whine and they get on. And Anna across the road, she heard the wee dog whining one day, and she just loves dogs. And she came across to talk to the dog. And it was through the wee dog that we got talking to her. And my wife has been able to talk to her about the Lord. She's not saved yet. But you see, the walls have been broken down. And we need to see people, not as trees walking, but we need to see them as souls that are going to a lost eternity, to see them as a harvest that's to be reaped. Now, the shepherd's job is to provide and to protect the sheep. And Jesus said, these people are like sheep without a shepherd. Because the Lord knew what they were getting from the local religious leaders. It wasn't the finest of the wheat, it was the husks. And he saw them as people that were perishing because of the lack of food. Perishing spiritually because there was none to give them the word of God. He saw them as a people that was scattered abroad, going about aimlessly, no ambition in life, just getting through the best you can. Have you ever stood down in the main street in Portadown on a Saturday and just stood and watched the multitude going here and there, worried frowns in their faces, carrying all the burdens of the day, no aim and object in life, nothing to hold on to, no hope? That's how the Lord saw them. And when we think of people scattered abroad, we think today of the widening borders of the European community. The people are immigrating to our shores. And you know, we can see them as a problem, or we can see them as a potential. And surely there's a great harvest field even among them. But I just wonder this morning, do we see the multitude as the Lord saw them? The harvest truly is plenteous. Then I think the Lord saw something else about these people. He saw their end. He saw their end. There was no one to guide them in the way of truth. There was no one that really cared enough for them to talk to them about the Lord. And he knew their end. Without a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, they were lost. They were without God and without hope. And they would perish in a lost eternity forever. An unsaved friend this morning in our gathering, that's your end. Without Jesus Christ, you have no hope. And are without God in the world. But thank God Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He saw their end, and it was his desire. And it's not the Lord's desire that any should perish, but all should come to repentance and live. That should be our desire. Yes, we have families. Yes, we have employment. We have business to look after. But surely these things should only be secondary. In the great commission the Lord has given to you and I, our desire is that they might be saved. That was his desire. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest." And surely that should be our desire this morning. We've seen the harvest, and God has been good and bountiful to us, providing for our material needs. And surely we want to see the greater harvest gathered in, the harvest of the souls of men and women. Now, the first thing we want to consider with you is the place of the harvest. And you'll notice that it says in verse 35, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues." He went about all the villages and all the cities, teaching and preaching the gospel. In other words, wherever the people were, Jesus went. He was interested in people, and should it be a village where there were few or a city where there were many, he was there teaching and preaching the word of God. You see, there's a great door and effectual opened unto us, and we have to go to the people. And there's a great need. I was in Coleraine that last Lord's Day preaching, and they have just finished conducting a children's meeting. And they set up a tent in the grounds of the church. And every night, most nights, they had upwards 200, 250 boys and girls. But they had 7 or 8 buses collecting from all parts of the town. And on the final night, they had something like 300 boys and girls in. During the week of the mission, Colin Tinsley, who was the evangelist, got into many schools, Protestant schools and Roman Catholic schools. One of the Protestant schools, I know it well, I was born not very far from it in Cologne, and he was in there, and he asked the boys and girls who the Lord was, and questions that any boy or girl in your Sunday school will answer. They didn't know. And you know, one of the teachers said, "Could you come every week?" He said, "I'm sorry, I'm only here for a week's mission." Doors opening, men and women. "Could you come every week?" He got into St. Malachy's Roman Catholic School. I know it well. And when the school started, the headmaster says, "You know, we usually start with devotions. But I suppose maybe you wouldn't be too happy about that. We'll just forget about it and we'll say the Lord's Prayer or read the 23rd Psalm." And he reminded the boys and girls where the mission was being held. It's at the roundabout on the top of the Bushmills Road. Every night at 7 o'clock, you be there. That's the headmaster of a Roman Catholic school. He went everywhere where there was opportunity. And there was opportunity. There's opportunities today to get into schools, to get into places. I remember when I was in Portavogie, large secondary school, Glastory High School, and I didn't have to ask to get into it. I was asked by the headmaster, would I come and take the assembly once every month or once every 3 months? And I oftentimes had a chat with him after it. I don't know whether Mr. Beckett was a Christian or not. He certainly was a very straight man. But he said, "You know, some of the ministers don't come." And he says, "Some of them don't even ring up to tell me they don't come." Well, I says, "Mr. Beckett, if you ever know they don't come and you're needing for somebody, I'm your man." Because, brother and sister, there was about 400 boys and girls. And I got 20 minutes to half an hour to tell them of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was no restraint whatsoever placed upon me. So the place where the people are, where there's an opportunity. You'll notice the potential of the harvest. It says in verse 37, "Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. And when Jesus saw the multitude, he saw a harvest." And no doubt the disciples just saw a multitude of people that were running hither and thither, and they were hustling and bustling and trying to get near the Lord, and maybe out of curiosity, and they were getting a bit hot under the collar. They couldn't handle it. But the Lord saw them differently. He saw them as a harvest. He could see into the hearts of men and women. He could see them as they really were. And you and I work with people, we meet people in the street, we come in contact with them in our employment, and maybe everything seems grand on the outside. They've a good job, they've a good home, they've a nice family, and all the rest of it, all that the world can give them. But you know, sometimes in that heart, there's a worrying, there's a concern, there's a care, there's a heartache. Just waiting for someone to tell them. Not going to ask you, but just waiting for someone to come and tell them of an answer to their needs. The Lord saw them the potential. He saw a harvest that was ripe for reaping, because the Lord just didn't see them as they were. He saw the potential. He didn't just see them as sinners. That's what they were. Yes, he knew all about it. But he could see what they could be. He could see what they could be if they came to him in faith and repentance. He could see potential in those lives. And that is why he said the harvest truly is plenteous. What it could be. You know, you and I will reach people with the gospel if we really see them through the eyes of the Lord. I mean, we can see people as a problem. The Lord saw them as a potential. That young lad in the Sunday school that gives you so much bother. That next door neighbor that put your head away with their music. People that are unlovely. And you meet with them. But the Lord sees the potential if they only would come to Christ, if I could reach them. Not the problem, but the potential. And it's wonderful, isn't it, what the Lord can do, even through one. You and I see the multitudes and we say, what am I among so many? I mean, what can I do? And that's a question I've often heard in my ministry from people. What can I do? Well, if it just give me 2 hours, I could sit down and tell them what they could do. Because no matter what age we are, if we know and love the Lord, there's a mountain of work to be done. But you know, it's not everybody that's called to be a preacher or an evangelist, but every one of us is called to be a soul winner to get into the harvest. We think of that tremendous story in John chapter 4, and it says he must needs go through Samaria. Because there was a Samaritan woman that he was going to speak to and he was going to save. And when he was there at the well, Sychar's well, this woman came along. And she came to draw water. But Jesus had far better, something far better than that for her. He had living water. He saw her. Yes, he saw her. Saw her as an adulteress. But he saw the potential, what she could be. And he talked to her. And he brought her to himself. And that lady really forgot what she came for. For it says she left down her pitcher and she ran into the city. And she told the men, come hear this man. He's told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? And a multitude came. And they believed because of her testimony. And then they came to hear Christ and they believed because of his word. An unlikely convert in an unlikely place, Samaria. The Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. But it's just wonderful where you'll get people saved. And that really is not up to you and I. It's up to the Lord to lead us and to guide us. But to work in the place where God has placed us. The potential. Many came to know the Lord. There's a harvest of souls in unlikely places. It's plentiful. It's plentiful. But the labors are few. That's the problem of the harvest. The labors are few. I'd just like to say to young people today, what is your life? Well, the Bible says it's just like a vapor. And it'll pass ever so quickly. You might not think that today. 12, 14, 15, 20, 22 years of age. You know, I once was where you are. And I used to think people of 40 years of age were ancient. I don't know what I think now, but those are 65. And we used to think, 65. I mean, when I started my ministry, I thought, 65, retired. That was way in the horizon. That was out of sight. But we're here. And our life goes ever so quick. And somebody once said to me, you know, the older you get, the quicker life seems to go. And it's true. Now, I know there's still 24 hours in the day, 60 minutes in an hour. But I tell you, it seems to go so fast. And what is your life? Your life's not your own. The life you have, the existence you have, comes from Almighty God. And God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Tell me this morning, have you found out what that plan and purpose? Well, first of all, the purpose of God for your life is that you be saved. He said, I come not to condemn the world, but the world through me might be saved. And the reason for that is that we're condemned already because we haven't believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So we need to be saved. And you can do nothing for God, nothing of any value, if you're not saved. But when we are saved, then we're to serve Him. What was the letters? I don't know whether they're still on the uniform of the Salvation Army. SS, saved to serve. That's what you and I are called to do. That's why we're saved. We're not saved to go through life by our own means and following our own plans. We're saved to serve the Lord. And it's up to us to ascertain, Lord, where would you have me to serve? Remember the word that came to Isaiah in chapter 6. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. Young person, you want adventure this morning? Well, just you read the book of Exodus and see, and you'll get all the adventure you like as Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. You read the exploits of Joshua, of Caleb. You read the exploits of Paul and tell me that that's not adventure. You want satisfaction? You'll only find it in serving the Lord Jesus Christ, where He wants you to serve Him. A couple of years ago, the young couple we met during our caravanning, and we got to know them, and we kept in contact with them. And just a couple of years ago, they wrote us a letter and said, in a short time, we're going to China. Now, we can't tell you where we're going to in China. We can't tell you all about it, but we're going with Open Doors ministry. And that young couple gave up 2 weeks of their holidays to go to take Bibles into China, not knowing at any moment a hand might be placed in their shoulder and say, follow me. But they did it. Adventure. And I'm sure as they passed through their customs with the Bibles, and I don't know what way they had them camouflaged or anything, I'm sure their hearts were pounding. Adventure. Young person, you want satisfaction serving the Lord. You ask any Sunday school teacher, you ask any evangelist, you ask any preacher, what is the greatest joy? What gives them more satisfaction in this world than anything? And that's to see souls coming to Christ. That's to see a young person whose life has been ruined by sin and Satan, and to be saved, and to see them going on with the Lord. Brethren and sisters, you and I can condemn the young people. We can condemn those that are under the influence of drugs and drink. And God forbid that our young people would be caught up in them. But at the same time, we have to see them through the eyes of the Savior. See the potential. Save the potential. And I tell you, if you want satisfaction, there'll be no greater satisfaction than at the end of life's journey and to hear the Lord say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You know, we see people getting commendated for Grammy Awards and
film awards and soccer awards and all that. And you know, it's only for a moment, isn't it? It's only for a moment. It doesn't last. But you see, when you're involved in the work of God and you're trying to reach the lost for Christ, it's a service that will be rewarded. And it will be commended. And I often remind myself, and I often did during my pastorate, maybe when things were difficult and you wondered sometimes what you were doing, and I often remembered this: a cup of cold water given in the name of a disciple shall in no wise lose its reward. Remember the lady that came into the house of Simon the leper? And she broke open the alabaster box of ointment, and she anointed the head of the Savior. And there was many among them, the disciples, and they were criticizing her. What waste is this? Could if this ointment not been sold and the money given to the poor? Jesus said, let her alone. She has wrought a good work on me. She has done what she could. I love those words. Sometimes we see evangelists. Sometimes we see great missionaries. And you know, and we look at what we're trying to do. And we say, what's this? But the Lord sees it. And if it's done from the heart, God will commend it. She did what she could. It wasn't what she couldn't do. It's what she could do. And surely there's people in the Church of Jesus Christ that are really doing nothing for the Lord, and they could do something. Could do something. One of the greatest men that was ever saved was John Newton. And John Newton was a wild seafaring man. His mother wouldn't know at times where he was at. So she did what she could. And she prayed for her John. And God saved her John and made him a mighty preacher of the gospel, the writer of many wonderful hymns. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Wild, swearing seaman, transformed by the grace of God because of a mother's prayers. Tell me, parent, are you praying for your children? The harvest is plenty, but the labors are few. The farmer knows that the harvest will not bring in itself. He has to go out in all weathers. He has to go out in the dark. He has to sometimes work late at night. And I've traveled through the countryside, and I've seen the lights of tractors in the field, maybe 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. Because the farmer has to, while he has time, get the harvest in. Because he knows the summer is ending, and the harvest will pass. And what's not gathered in will be lost. And brother and sister, what's not gathered in the garner will be lost. It's hard work sometimes. Sometimes it's dirty work. Backbreaking work. Well, I look at the fields now, and sometimes I've seen these new contraptions in the fields. You know the ones that gather the potatoes, and you sit on a wee platform and the conveyor brings them up? Well, they hadn't those in my day. And I can well remember the first 3 days in gathering potatoes were back-breaking. And you thought you'd never, ever straighten up again. It's not like that now. But it's hard work. The hours sometimes are long. And if it wasn't for the Lord's commendation, you wouldn't get too many thanks for it. But it's the Lord's work. Fields are white unto harvest. Have to move quickly. The power of the harvest. The labors are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that will send forth labors into his harvest. The power of the harvest. Well, there's the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. Verse 35.
The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's not a wonderful thing to know as you and I go forth sowing precious seed. It's not depending on my phraseology. It's not depending on my articulation. God's word is powerful. But then he says to pray. The labors are few. And sometimes we can lament how few the hours seem to get involved. But we need to do more than that. We need to pray. And our brother mentioned the prayer meeting Wednesday night. You know, those whose families are not saved, those that perhaps feel that they're not a preacher, they're not a Sunday school teacher, you can come and pray. And you pray the Lord of the heart, because that's a commandment. And when you're not at the prayer meeting, and when you can be at the, could be at the prayer meeting, you're breaking the Lord's commandment. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into the harvest field. He saw the multitude, sheep without a shepherd, going about aimlessly. And there was nothing like a sheep to get lost. And then it can't find its way back. That's like the unsaved. We need to go forth. I just want to close with this story. True story. And we've all heard of the 1859 revival and how it started in Ulster with four men and Kells and that. But you know, in 1857 in the city of New York, things were very bad. Unemployment was sky high. Morals were low. Spiritual life of the city was low. And people in the churches in downtown New York were moving out to more affluent parts of the city. And the churches were emptying. And there was a Dutch church. And they engaged a young man called Jeremiah Lamphere to come and do some missionary work. And that young man came with a burden. And he saw the multitudes as the Lord saw them, souls that were lost. He drew up a pamphlet, and I'm not going to read it out to you now, but he was saying why we should pray and how often we should pray. And then he said, I'm starting a prayer meeting on a Wednesday at noon. And businessmen, electricians, plumbers, laborers, you're welcome to come and to spend the hour in prayer. And if you can't spare the hour, and maybe you can only spend 5 minutes, you come, you pray. And so he set the date, 23rd of September, 1857, the door was open for prayer. And Jeremiah was sitting there waiting. And 12:05, and there was no one. 12:15, and there was no one. 12:20, and there's no one. And at 12:30, he heard the sound of footsteps on the stairs. And one man came in, and then another, until there were 6. The second week, there were 40. 40 people coming to pray. Within 2 years, there was 1 million converts in the United States of America. There was 10,000 people gathered over the city praying. I tell you, brethren and sisters, God has to do something in that. Because these men had a burden. And one man, Jeremiah Lamphere, had a burden. They put out a challenge. And through that one man, God saved 1 million. And I've often thought of mighty men of God. And you know them well. You know the reformers. You know about Latimer and Ridley. You know about all these men and the movements that they started. Started with one man that God saved. And I think many years ago,
when young Ian Paisley, at 6 years of age, God saved him at his mother's knee. How many thousands has he not pointed to the Lord? You see, little as much of God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it if you go. In Jesus' name, amen.